Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back with a little surprise, exciting episode. It's Phil, Will, and Blake. All three of us are here. Jeff made the absolutely unbelievably shocking announcement, the most groundbreaking, jaw-dropping announcement maybe in the history of Survivor, that there would be returning players for season 50. Who saw that one coming? I don't know.
Yeah.
everybody shocked. But while this
is why, I think that's why this is like kind of a, I get there's a lot of excitement about it, but it's like when Phil reached out to me like, hey, we're going to do a season 50 pie. I'm like, he's like, everyone's so excited. It's all everyone's talking about. I'm like, wasn't this like, why was this news? Like, is this real? Like, of course there was going to be returning players for Survivor 50.
It's right? One of the first decisions where if Jeff hadn't done that, that would have been the last straw where we all march on CBS and finally break his legs in half and say enough.
Yeah, right. Well, Blake would do that with his army. Will and I are peaceful people.
There's other interesting information that's come out since, but him at a fan event going, oh, we don't know what we're going to do. Let's do returning players. Let's say it's like, of course he's thought about this before. And of course this was going to happen.
Yeah. And I think what's fun about it is now that the cat is officially out of the bag, now that Jeff has publicly stated it, I think what's got everybody excited is it started to lead to the fantasy of everything that's going on. And that's why we called this 10 burning questions. We're trying to take the 10 questions that people have been asking all around Twitter, other forms of social media, just in regular conversations of what this season could potentially look like, because getting returning players is not the news. Jeff acts like that's the news. People are acting like that's the news. That's your headline. But what that is meaning is everybody is now sitting down and saying, what is this season going to look like? What kinds of castaways? How many days? All of those things. And we're going to break it all down here. Well, we had done a Survivor Second Chances 2 series this offseason with Russell Muscle TV. We had done a new era versus an old school. Pre-40 was our old school definition, so it was very heavy on the late 30s. But we had done something like that. So if you want to check that out, you can check that out, where we really tried to get into cast. That's not really what we're looking at here today, but we will be discussing if we think certain players are going to be eligible or anything like that. So just wanted to mention that for everybody.
Yeah, no, that was a fun series. And there's a very real chance that Survivor 50 does do some sort of new school versus old school, or maybe new school versus old school versus middle school, or like the three eras.
Middle schoolers, let's
yeah,
go.
Middle schoolers on Survivor. I mean, Jeff said apply if you're, you know, 15, 16, so they're finally going to get their chance. No, I do think there's a world where that's how they divide the tribes, and I'm sure that's one of your burning questions that you're going to ask Blake and myself. But yeah, I definitely go check out the Second Chance videos. We did a whole series fan vote, then we did a brand steal. It was a ton of fun. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, so let's jump into this. And for the first question, I am going to start off with, will this is the biggest one. Will the cast feature players from pre-40? This is the biggest question that everybody's been asking. There's so much speculation about the fact that by the time 50 comes, there will be 9 new era seasons where Bruce is the only person to have played again. So there's been a lot of speculation that it's only going to be players from the new era. Are either one of you buying that? I don't care which one of you answers first.
Wait, didn't he confirm this?
No.
Jeff said that they're not closing the door on anybody, but he did not confirm 100% that people pre-40 would play. He just said that people pre-40 aren't automatically eliminated.
We gotta be confident here. I if they don't have people before 41, I will not watch 50. It is. If we're going to celebrate the history of the game, if we're going to say it's legend season, if we're going to make some crazy, like the cat in the cradle game, it's like there's people from before 40 that fit in both cat and cradle. And like some of my favorite characters of all time, how many of them are from 40 through 46 so far? Maybe 1.5. So it is the thing of like, well, what happened to these people last time? Oh, maybe they were pregnant. And like, now, some of my favorite people that were pregnant last time around, there was an All-Stars, or they weren't a winner, but they would have been a shoo-in otherwise. I still want to see that person from Survivor 37.
You're not talking about Angelina, are you?
I mean, let's go, Angelina's coming back for 50! Let's go! It's finally happening. She's going to bring 3 coats. She's going to give a coat away for each tribal council she attends before they vote her out way before she should go.
And Shadow the Cat 99er Allen did say, Jeff said that players from pre-40 are eligible. So they are eligible, but Brian Heidick's been eligible for every season too. That doesn't mean they're going to bring him back. So I guess what my question
is, Brian Heidick is coming back for season 2.
He's saying that they're eligible, but we haven't been confirmed that like these players are going to play. A lot of people are still of the mindset that eventually they'll narrow it down to just 41 through 49. Will, I'm assuming you're thinking, no way.
Yeah, I mean, what context did Jeff say that pre-40 people are eligible?
We're not shutting the door on anybody.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, I tend to think they're like Jeff is aware of like how big this is, and to limit it to just 9 seasons just wouldn't capture the whole history of the show. And the fact that Jeff has already said anything about it makes me think that there's a very real chance that pre-40 players will play. I will believe that until we see otherwise, essentially. Because I think, yeah, I don't know. I think just taking players from the new era, like, why would that be the decision they go with? Why would they not? I mean, I guess that's maybe a better question to ask. What benefit does it do for the show to only pull from seasons 41 to 49? Why would that choice make the show better, or why would they make that decision?
I know the counterpoint, but you go first, Phil. I know exactly what you're going to say.
I think the reason why people are saying this is because they're saying, look how many great casting decisions there have been on seasons 41 through 49, and we haven't gotten a chance to watch them play again. And I think what people forget is there's always been great casting choices on Survivor. Like, just because it's the most relevant, everybody was saying that the 41 cast was great, but 41 itself just wasn't that good of a season, or was meh, whatever people want to say about it. But what's funny is, well, then we do our Survivor Second Chances thing, and neither Shan or Ricard get the votes from our fan base, at least. So I do feel like there's so much recency bias that people forget just how good the casts are from all the seasons of Survivor for the most part. So I think that's the argument. Is, well, if you like, you're going to have 9 times 18 people minus 1 because Bruce played twice. That's how many people you're going to have from that pool to pick from. That's almost 180 people. That's a lot of people. So when you look, I guess it's almost 150. It doesn't matter. You have a lot of people, though, and I think that's what people are thinking. The fan base is thinking, we got to pull from that. Why do we need to go pre-40? But there's still a lot of people pre-40, as Blake was talking about Angelina, that we never got a chance to see again. And I think that this might be the best chance to do it, especially if you're going to do a celebration of the show's 25th year. So I think that's why people think 41 to 49 should get it. But I mean, they also went back to season seven, even though season 16, they said, we're only going to do players post All-Stars. They still went back and got Johnny Fairplay because Johnny Fairplay was going to be, you know, TV. Even if he didn't totally work out on season 16, that is what they were thinking when they made that casting choice and went back a extra season.
I think the other thing is we have two pretty decent ideas of how an All-Star season can go. And the first one in season 8, spoilers if you haven't watched, they get rid of all the really good players first. And in season 40, spoilers alert again, they're like, oh, we can get rid of all the old school people first. And so if this turns into one argument for we only want 41 through 49 is we don't want to cloud the game between the 26-day players and the 39-day players and have that be, we don't really care about your merit in the game. We only care if did you play 39 or 26 before and have that be a fierce divide. And maybe this is the first time anybody's actually saying it into a microphone, but that could be a thing of like, I do have a chip on my shoulder. When I was on the show 12 years ago, it was way harder. And you guys have been nothing but annoying me on Twitter about this stuff. The new era people could be like, who cares?
I feel like that's something that would like rock Jeff socks. Like, oh my gosh, like we have a group of people that played 26 days and a group that played 39 and they get to play on the same season. Which air is harder? Who knows how to play? I feel like Jeff would just like love that element. I don't think there is an obvious answer of why, because Phil, you just said because there's a big casting pool. Well, yeah, there's a big casting pool of great players anyway.
We have 49 seasons to pull from by the time we get to 50. I mean, if right. we can and pull I, people I from think, season one, I'll take it.
Think, you're right. No, I don't think saying seasons 1 to 9, there's a lot of people makes like that's not, I don't think, a valid reason of why you would not allow someone from 37 or 38 or 39 or 35, like, or, you know, Dominic from 36. Like, those players have yet to have an opportunity to play again. So outside of Edge of Extinction captains. So it's like, I don't see that as an argument. And then I think what Blake said, it's honestly, I think Jeff would love to mix the eras. So I don't know. Maybe the only thing would be like season 40 was the end of an era. We started over again. And like, that was a finite ending and it's like a reset for the show. So thematically there, but I don't know. I think we're going to get pre 40 players, everybody. I'm pretty confident in it.
Yeah, I agree too. So let's ask this question then. And it's probably the least of the burning questions, but I still think it's a burning question and it bounces off of us talking about pre 40 and post 40. Would this season actually be better if it only featured one era? Do you think that, because that's been something people have used as the counter argument, is with season 41 to 49, is it actually a better season of Survivor if they only use people from one era? So you're not getting all of the pre-gaming stuff, even though, Will, you said it would rock Jeff's socks. Great terminology. We really appreciate that. But do you think we have seen pretty much every season of Survivor where they've done returning players, one side kind of wipes out the other based around when they played the game? So would it be a better TV show if they did this, or are we just going to be pumped that we're getting players from every single era of the show?
I think like that's a real concern. I think there's going to be pregame alliances regardless. That's just the nature of any all-star season or full returning player season. But I think if they do like own it and say, okay, here's the new era tribe and here is the old school tribe and like let the show define it, then when you swap, people are going to be like, okay, I don't want to just play by the numbers of like my starting tribe. That's not fun Survivor. That's not good Survivor. That's not what makes you a good player or a legend in this game, the 50th season. So maybe owning it up front and like putting the eras against each other and then, you know, allowing them to intermingle at a swap. that could actually, like, I don't know, entice the players to go beyond pregame alliances.
Mm-hmm. What do you think,
Blake? I think they're going to have to risk it for the biscuit. Another terminology of, like, I don't think you could ignore the last nine seasons at that point and be like, this is how we celebrate Survivor. And I don't think you could. I think truly, yeah, whenever we do talk about themes in a second, it's going to be a celebration. Just as much, Winners of War was an excellence celebration, this may be, what else about Survivor do people love? Crazy characters, crazy experiences, diversity from all over the country and even other countries. Like, there may be something where, of course, we're bringing back somebody from Canada that you didn't expect. Zane's in because he's our Canadian that isn't a winner or some bullshit, but like, or some BS, sorry. It's just some stuff, Kane. Yeah, I said, but like, I think it's a celebration of the show, and the show happened to 40, and it's been happening for the last 5 years. So it's going to be everybody. And I don't think there will even be a thought of, like, I do think whenever you see a better player from the last five seasons, like, can Omar go toe to toe with Sandra? Like, that's a thought process that we've had watching this stuff. And Omar actually couldn't go toe to toe with Marianne. So now it's, can Marianne go toe to toe with Sandra or something? Like, those are all the stuff that's super fun. But I think that's a thing that is worth seeing, of combine everybody.
Yeah, no, I totally, totally agree. All right. I'm going to put up a comment here. This is from Hello. I think the theme will be very broad, so they can bring back people they want and justify it. Probably favorites or second chances, not something harder to fit characters in, like heroes versus villains. So, Will, you're good? Thumbs up?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I just let the alarm go off. So,
yeah, and then we get people, IceX says legends, and Hello says legends would be great, but I feel like they can't bring that many new era players because the legend status has to marinate for a while. So we'll get into theme in a second here, but, you know, just keeping this on the, is one era better than the other? That's like saying the first All-Stars wasn't going to have winners because they were worried all the winners were just going to get picked off one by one. Well, when Sandra played in Heroes versus Villains, she was one of very few winners, and she still won. So what difference does it really make, right? Like, I think you have to take the chance. And even though Winners at War might have a slightly disappointing boot list, because I think it's hard for that season to have a disappointing boot list, it's just like, it was still dope to see Ethan and Danny and Amber play again. Like, it was just fun to see them back out there. So I think that has to be the thought process going on here, at least a little. All right, next one. Are winners actually going to get the call for this season? That is another one that people are talking about. We've seen a lot of seasons go with non-winners, or, you know, like fans versus favorite seasons have always been non-winners. We have seen, we somehow saw Blood versus Water. Tina snuck in as a winner, even though everybody else was predominantly non-winners. So do you think that winners are going to get the call? Do you think it's going to be limited because Winners at War did just happen in season 40? Do you think that they don't care and they know that winners need to get it? And new era winners especially, this is really going to be their only time to play. So what are we thinking about this?
I think they're going to be winners involved in this for sure. And I do agree with that comment about the cast won't, the theme won't be super specific in that we're going to fit everybody in. I think it's going to be vague, just like, I don't know. Like, Legends does seem like a good word. I don't know if there's another good, but like, just, hey, maybe they'll just call it Survivor 50, the number. Maybe they won't even have a name to it, and they just bring back, you know,
Survivor 50 Deepest Diggers.
Yeah, Deepest Diggers. I like that. Like, there's no, I would be shocked if there weren't winners involved. I think that would almost be a disservice if they did a second chances too or something.
Because what winners are is, it's, they're the strongest players. They're the players that put them in the weirdest scenarios, put them at the top, they can play well, put them at the bottom, they can play well. I don't want some crazy twist, but of course it's new era, so there will be a crazy twist. And like, these winners are the epitome of every season of who's the best player. And so I don't think you'd want to watch a crazy season without having some of the best players on the sideline. And like, there's at least four winners between, I would say, 35 and 45. Where I'm like, yeah, I'd love to see them with a target on the back and see if they could get through five rounds without getting eliminated that way. And that's something where that is the flavor, and maybe that helps somebody like a Jelinski, who shouldn't be there but is a fan favorite, get through, because it's like, are you going to vote out Jelinski or are you going to vote out D?
Will's so pumped.
D is somebody who's like, of course you're going to vote out Jelinski. I'm way more helpful. I have way more connections. And then that's a fun push and pull for episode two of the two boot targets are D or Jelinski. And what are we going to do? And seeing all that of eight people deciding those two people's fates is a super fun episode that I'm excited to watch. Wow.
And I think even going not from like new era, just looking at older school winners too, Vesepi and Earl have probably never had a better chance to play again than with season 50, in my opinion. And I have a couple reasons for it. One, with
interesting.
Well, I totally disagree. But I think because of the outcry after season 40 that Vesepia hadn't been called, Earl has been called numerous times to play. But Vesepia wasn't
been on
even
five
called.
Seasons, I think, right?
Yeah, like Earl should have been on a lot. And I think Earl is more willing to put it away and go play it now. I also think with Vesepia being the first Black female winner of all time, and with the diversity initiative that's going on with Survivor now, I think Vesepia could be somebody that gets the call this time, even if she doesn't make the cast. And I feel like Earl going on, what show did he go on? Snake in the Grass or something like that? I forget exactly what it was. I didn't watch it. But like him going on and doing something and having been on the radar so much, I feel like those are two winners that have the potential to maybe get the call for this season. I also would not count out, and this will go into another question that we'll talk about a little bit later, but players like Parvati and Boston Rob and Sandra, are they really just going to say, no, you guys aren't eligible for this season? It might be annoying and people don't want to hear it anymore, but I think that there is a possibility of that. So all that being said, then you have D, Marianne. I'd love to see Gabler play again. I think he'd be super interesting. Honestly, I'd watch Erica play again just because I'd like to see her play the game. And I don't want to leave out Jam Jam because he has the most confessionals of any winner outside of the first like 30 seasons. Like it's something absurd like that. So I,
you think we're not going to have Carolyn come back? You're wrong. Carolyn's coming.
We're talking about winners, bro. We're talking about winners.
But that's what goes in my head when you're like, if Yam Yam's going and Carolyn's going, it's like there, even on our hypothetical cast of 20, I like, this is a cast where you almost need like 30 or 40 of like, maybe there's four beaches and four tribes and we just do triple elimination every day for 3 days in a row and just do a massive massacre. And then survival of the fittest after 6 days combine into two tribes of 10, like all these fan things that we've done for online reality games for 10 years. Like this would be the only season CBS could even entertain more than 20 people are not only in the pool, but are going to step on the beach. And that's something where it's like, why limit yourself? Like, shoot for the stars, because hopefully this is Jeff's last season. And then we do
like
some...
you're getting to two questions already that I haven't.
I know,
asked,
but I'm so excited.
You're so excited. I love the excitement. Will, you were kind of saying no to Earl and Vesepia. Why do you say no on them?
Oh, not that I wouldn't want to see them play, but when you said that this is their most likely chance, we had a season, a cast full of 20 winners. That was without a doubt their best chance. So the fact that they didn't come back for that makes me think their chances of ever returning again, like that would have been it in an all winter season where you need to basically scrounge together 10 female winners, 10 male winners at this point in their lives and make sure they can, I mean, at that point, what, there was 38 winners only and they needed to pick 20. So that was without a doubt their best chance. That's more what I was kind of, what I was.
It was semantics, Phil.
Yeah, but the diversity element of it is what I think gets me, because I do think with Vesepia not getting the call for season 40, like not even being in the discussion, there was, I mean, remember the diversity initiative happened after season 40. And I think with Vesepia being so vocal about not getting called for that season, I do think that there's a potential that Survivor is making that phone call.
And I'm not saying it can't happen or that I wouldn't want to see it. I just think like that was probably their best opportunity.
Yeah.
So,
but we're in on winners. We think winners are going to be on the table, but we're not seeing this as like another, I mean, what really blows my mind is there are 11 winners pre-season 40 that have never played again. And then there's going to be 9 winners from the new era who all have never played again. So you could get 20 winners who have only played once if you really wanted to. It is a possibility.
Do Winners at War 2.
Winners at War 2, and then have like a battle royale Rich? With the ones who didn't make either cast, and we just keep going. All right, next one. Do you think we will see three time plus players? Players who have already played the game three times or more. And if we are going to see them, are you happy about the fact that we're going to see them?
I think it literally comes down to you have to find the person where it makes sense, where it's like Malcolm. He's one of those who never won. His third appearance was the most I got screwed over by the show. Maybe an Andrea plays a fourth time. Because we really need someone who fits the exact box that Andrea is in, and we don't want it to be somebody else. Like, that's the only way I could see a three-time person, not somebody that's a Winners at War participant, that's it'll be my fourth, fifth, or sixth time playing. Like, I think there's some stories where we don't need the seventh chapter where they go home in the first two tribals. Mm-hmm. And I know there was some fun. All winners, the stakes is all the same. And watching Parvati try to maneuver, watching Rob try to maneuver, watching Sandra try to maneuver the early game of Winners at War was very interesting. But I don't need to see them do it again when it's not all winners to make it interesting.
Well, what do you think?
I was actually looking through the chat. Someone had already said, Parv said she's been contacted already.
There's no way she would announce that.
Way to believe anything you read on the internet, bro.
I'm just announcing that because if it's in our chat, I think I've seen multiple people mention it now. I think everyone's on the table. I really do. I mean, Russell Hance, like, I feel like season 50, if he's ever going to come back, like, and this would be Russell's, you know, fourth time.
Things are about to get handsome.
Yeah, I just, like,
I'm leaving.
I don't see a world where it's all players that have only played once or twice. Like,
yeah, so
you're eliminating too many iconic faces of the show, and it's the 50th season, so it's like they want to put Boston Rob and Parvati on again. Like, those are the faces of the franchise, so I don't think they're going to limit themselves in that way.
I think the biggest problem is I kind of agree with Blake. I agree with both of you. So I'll start with that. I think that everybody is on the table. But I agree with Blake. Thank you. Hello. I've read it somewhere. It's not for my ears. I'm not gaslighting you guys, I swear. I do believe that what gets stale to me, I don't need to watch Boston Rob, Sandra, Tyson, Parvati all play together again. Like, I don't need to see that kind of game. And I think that's where they'd have to be a little bit pickier this time around of how they're going to do it. I believe that everybody's on the table, but if I was making this season, I would say, okay, we have not seen Amanda Kimmel since season 20. We saw her in 15, 16, and 20. Same with James. And we have never seen either of them again. What's going on with those two? Because now, by this point, it will have been 16 years since we have seen them on our TVs. And they've played three times. But I don't know anybody who's exhausted by Amanda and James at this point. It's been so long ago since they've played. So I'd like to see that. I wouldn't mind Stephanie LaGrossa now that she went back into the Traders and had that element of things. Get some players who maybe Heroes versus Villains was their final go-around. And even think about Russell Hance. He played three of four seasons. Okay. I don't think they'll ever bring Russell back. I think he's a little too negative for production. But if you were going to bring him back, this would be the time to do it because now we haven't seen it in 28 seasons. So I'm hoping that if they're going to pull people from that have played three or more times, it would be people who kind of had the cutoff at season 20. We have what is it here, Shadow the Cat saying Colby and Jerry potentially, like, that would be fun. And then obviously Tatiana Morano said imagine Fabio coming back, but that just missed the winner chat. What do you think about that, Will? Because me and Blake both kind of voiced our opinions on that. Like, do you have a preference on three-time players you'd want to see?
I'm with you in that, like, I don't need to see Winners at War cast come back and like just redo that. I think that's a unique season, all winners. But we just talked through a few people that are legends of the show that haven't won. Russell being one of them, whether you like him or not, he's a legend of Survivor. He's played three times. I mean, James, you mentioned in a minute. I think those are two great examples. Blake mentioned Malcolm. Like, Malcolm and James have never been on a tribe together. You know, Malcolm and Russell haven't been on a tribe together. Amanda and Russell haven't. I mean, they were on the same season, but they didn't really, you know, have to.
They played together for like 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want, I get what you're like, I don't need to see like Boston Rob versus Russell again, or like with Tyson, like a lot of those stories that we saw in Heroes of Thrones and then 20 seasons later in Winners of War. But like, if you like cherry pick one or two people from Heroes vs. Villains, one or two people from Winners at War that really haven't interacted, then some other people from like Game Changers or Second Chances, like you just got to be kind of delicate with how you do it. But I'm totally open to seeing, like, if Ceree plays again, great. Like, she wasn't on Winners at War. She hasn't won the show, but it would be her fifth time playing. Are we cool with that? Probably. Ceree.
Blake just gave a thumbs down, like, hard.
I love Ceree. Ceree is by far probably my favorite contestant as a 15-year-old watching the show and going, like, I am so proud of her, and I have watched her grow, and I have done this. I saw her dead eyes in the season of Big Brother, and it's something where it's like, let's quit while we're ahead. She's got one of the biggest targets of all time. Does she need to win Survivor before she retires? And, like, is there a world where Ceree could win a Survivor? The answer to both of those questions are, like, she wants to win before she retires, but there's not a way that she could win Survivor anymore. Yeah. The door is shut on there. I don't want to watch Ceree go on and somebody mercy, like, hey, do we want Ceree to get to final six or should we get her out at 20? Like, I don't want that to be a major storyline of people just balancing people's threat levels. I want it to kind of be not an even playing field, but everyone has a reason why there's a target on their back, not, this is by far above and a legend. And I feel like I have a theme idea brewing in my head that'll solve this problem for us when we get to themes.
I like that. There we go.
But I think with Ceree, it's just like, I wouldn't say she has no chance because she is so good. And the people on the cast have to be at that level. And this is Survivor 50. And there's enough players that can be at that level. And I mean, hey, man, Tony won Winners at War. How the hell did they not vote Tony out earlier? And he pulled that off. So, I mean, it's possible. Like Phil already mentioned, Sandra, a winner, won Heroes vs. Villains when there weren't many winners in that cast. So I would say give her a chance.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be the most compelling conversation probably in the casting room. The show that the players this show was built on have been used a lot. So how do they balance that? How do they find the right hold? Because, you know, for some people at this point, would you rather see D a second time or yes. Cassidy a second time? Or would yes. you rather see, I don't know, even from this season right now, Q, Venus, like, would you rather see these people play a second time than Parvati play a, what, fifth time? Yes. Probably.
Yeah, but I think wouldn't it be fun to see Parv and Q?
But now you got to fit all of that into however many players they're going to put. And that gets really hard to do. I agree with you. Well, I think it would be fun, but they got to strike the balance, man.
I think it is like I said, it's got to be a delicate balance, but you want a mixed bag. You want some people who've won, you want some people who've played once, then you want some five-time players. You want some new era people. You want some people from the first 10 seasons. Like, you want just like a complete just mixture.
Plus, Survivor. When Phil wins 49, he's going to roll in straight to 50. So that's something you got to think of too.
Good point.
and I'll throw this one up here because Big Show Gano says, who does Phil want to be on 50 if he had a choice? Phil has 5 to 10 players that he wants. I definitely do have some players that I want. And we're going to be doing so much coverage of this over the summer because this is going to be the last summer we can really have the full open conversations before there's going to be known information about who's going out there. I mean, I remember for Winners at War, everybody knew pretty much the whole cast by the time season 38 was ending. But my one wish is that one of the winners who from pre-40 who had never played a second time, at least one of them plays again. I think that would be really fun to bring them back for a 50th season. Earl, Vesepia. They're not going to bring back Heidick, so I'm not even going to pretend. Chris Doherty, Fabio, Tommy, Chris Underwood. They're not going to bring back Natalie White, so I'm not even going to pretend. But these are the types of players that I would like to see. Mike Holloway, give me one of them, and I will feel like they are doing a really good job in terms of like trying to hit all of the areas of the fan base. Because there are a bunch of us who are really, really hungry for at least one of those players. Give me Bob Crowley, baby. Let him break Rudy's record for oldest player. I don't give a shit. Let's do it. All right.
Great.
If you're still here, like this video and subscribe to the channel. Please do all of that. And our next question. This is the last one I have about players. Will castaways who have competed on other reality shows be included? Because we did see initially when Jay decided he wanted to go and play on The Challenge, that was not well received necessarily by people behind the scenes. And they weren't really behind the scenes about it. They were pretty vocal about not being happy Jay went on to that show. Then we've seen now,
Who's they, real quick?
Survivor? Just like Survivor in general, yes. Because okay. It opened up the door for Survivor players now going to shows that were seen as lesser, right? Air quotes, lesser. And so how do we feel? Oh, my God, I didn't mention Todd. And Todd, by the way, for winners. My God. Anyway, how do we feel about this now that we've seen so many players go on these other shows? And do we feel like it's almost going to be impossible for them to avoid this?
I think that's a way that you could, like, between the GOAT, between House of Villains, between House of Villains Season 2, between House of Something Else, all these networks are starting to put together all-star seasons of stuff. And that may be where, like, well, Ceree, you can win the Traitors, but, like, being on Survivor again, like, I don't know if that's deluded her for the Survivor thing, but you're saying, oh, the Traitors is still premium. People went on, allegedly. I think if you were on the Challenge CBS version, all of that was under the umbrella of CBS and Nobody's Too Bad, So Sad. But somebody like Michelle, is she now a Challenge star instead of a CBS star? Like, do we want to see Michelle play a third time? Well, yes, she's never been voted out. That would be really cool. Yeah. But is there an era of Survivor watchers that are 18 to 22 years old right now that think of Michelle in the same reverence that we thought of our people when we were 18 to 22 watching the game, of like, she's just as good as Tony. She's just as good as these other people. There's just less votes for her in the end or whatever. You're talking about other shows though. And like, I think if you did Snake in the Grass, it doesn't eliminate you. I think if you did these other things, it's just, hey, this is CBS's way to cut your competing off of that. Like, if you want to be on Survivor 50, sign this contract where you can't be on another show for 2 years. And maybe CBS can start their own House of something and then keep all of their really good, like, legendary people that are making a bunch of money for other networks. They can use this as a springboard to write contracts. And maybe that's how some of these super cool players that have been on the show 5 times are going to be on a 6th time, because we don't want Rob to go over and make Deal or No Deal into an actual show. And now we have to compete against Deal or No Deal for the next 10 years.
I think something too with like the Jay thing, that's when the Challenge wasn't basically owned by CBS. Because it was Viacom, MTV. And since then, Viacom and CBS and Paramount, like, they've all, it's all one company now. So anyone on the Challenge, anyone, like, the people who've gone on the Challenge recently, like Cassidy, Michelle, Dominic, I think those players are totally fine. They got nothing to worry about. They are like in the CBS umbrella. You know, I know it's on MTV, but it is now the same company. And so it's like, you know, how The Amazing Race did the season where it was Survivor versus Big Brother versus Amazing Race contestants, where they're, you know, mixing people from multiple shows. I think that's like totally, totally fine for people who have been on other shows. And then when it's like another network, like you've been on The Traitors or House of Villains or Deal or No Deal, like those are all NBC owned or Peacock shows. think it's such a normal part of reality TV right now. It's all about bringing people back and putting them on a show together. So I really don't think they're going to worry too much about that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you both on this, especially you think about with the Traitors. Sandra and Parvati have both played the Traitors. Are you really going to say, nope, they're automatically eliminated, we are not bringing them back? I don't think they are. And I know that this is stuff people have talked about, but maybe Danny McRae and Sarah Lucina and Desi and Chris Underwood maybe they actually almost should get better spots on 50 because of how well they did on the challenge. I mean, Danny and Chris Underwood especially, right? Like Chris Underwood goes out and does, I mean, we're not a challenge podcast.
Chris Underwood hasn't lost a reality competition show
he's played on. And so when you look at it from that perspective, maybe it almost is something where if CBS is trying to promote another show, well, here's the guy who's won both of our two biggest reality shows that are on here right now. I know Big Brother is probably bigger, but still, like, that could be great. That could be really good. So maybe that actually would work in Chris Underwood's favor and get him on the show. And maybe Chris Underwood or Tommy will be the pre-40 winner that we get instead of going all the way back to Vesepia or Earl or Bob or something fun.
Who would you rather see play, Chris Underwood or Vesepia?
Probably Vesepia, because I'd like to see what she could do in the new era. But I think both of them would actually be really good casting choices for something like this.
Narrowing it down to 20, I think it'd be harder for us than the people that are actually going to cast the show.
Like, oh yeah, because the people that are actually killing their darlings. We're killing our darlings with every decision we make.
Yeah.
I mean, hello down here says Cecilia. Will, what season was Cecilia on?
We have CeCe from Millennials vs. Gen X.
There you go. That's a good cop out.
Cook Islands.
Cecilia, the only time that a Cecilia has actually appeared on the screen is in Cook Islands. So, but yeah, look, I agree with you, Blake. I think that's a good point of the fan base is so excited about this. And we're the ones who are dreaming up, are we going to get that player I haven't seen in years? Are we going to get those players I haven't seen that have played a couple times but I'm missing them? All of that stuff. And the people who are ultimately casting this are probably going, okay, here's our pool of 60 people that they've already narrowed down and we're not even realizing it. So who knows? William Redmond has a good question here. This isn't a burning question, but I feel like this is an important one to ask. Does Rob's podcast help or hurt his chances for 50?
My dumbass, I would put Rob on 50. I think
put him on 50 for sure.
That welcome to the show, Rob. Thank you for everything. Turn your brain off. Just do it. Whether he goes out first or uses connections to get to the final three, he's a very interesting dude who in his second time was targeted heavily. Maybe his third time, that was a good enough Tony thing where people can underestimate him. And 20 years of meeting all these people and talking to him is exactly what you need to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be fun. I think, again, I keep saying this over and over. It's just get the best group of people. Don't worry about if they've been on Australian Survivor or if they've even badmouthed production or if they've done this or that. Throw all that out the window. It's Survivor 50. Just bite the bullet on some of the people you said would never return. Bring them back. Make it all happen. Don't worry about all the whatever someone has done, you know, with their time away from Survivor. I would not like hold that against them unless it's like something really bad, like maybe Brian Heidick or something.
Stylus is definitely worse than Brian Heidick. Yeah. Brian Heidick, actually, if you go follow him on Instagram and stuff, we've been talking about Survivor Thailand on the Patreon. He's like a normal dad now. It's very funny to see that he's just a normal dad.
He just watch baseball games for fun.
Yeah.
Are we ready for theme or no?
Next one. Well, I was going to do this one first since Will just said you got to throw everything out. How many players do we think they're going to cast?
I think we also have a question on days.
Bill? We do. That'll be next. That'll be next.
I think these go hand in hand. So I think we should just talk about them at the same time. I don't think you can have one conversation without the other, because if you do a 100-day season, that's going to obviously influence the player count. And if you have a 100-day player count, it's always going to influence the number of days. So I think this is like one in the same year. I think I think we're going to go back to 39 days. Maybe we even go longer. Maybe they do 50 days. Like, I really do think that is on the table. I've heard Jeff say, it was in some interview, I think this was early in the new era. Maybe someone could find it. But someone asked him point blank, like, 26 days, are we ever going back to 39? And Jeff says, no, I don't want to say never. If we have a special season and we want to do a big deal, we want to go longer, we can absolutely go back if we want to. Like, this isn't set in stone. And for someone like Jeff, who once he makes a decision and once he agrees he likes something, like 26, he could have easily said no. 26 days, it's cheaper to shoot, shorter, faster pace. Like, he can hype it up all he wants, which he does anyway. He could have easily said, no, this is Survivor now, 26 days. He said, no, we'll see what happens. So if he said that, I think 39 days is totally on the table. And then 50 days for Survivor 50 days feels like a very reasonable amount of time, because it would be the longest season ever, but only by 8 days. You know, 42 days from Australian Outback is the longest season. This is 8 days longer. And sure, give them more food or whatever. Like, you don't need to, like, kill these people, but...
This is a good point by John, too, with 50 being the second season. Maybe you do need
to kill these people to move the needle.
Yeah, with 50 being the second season film in the cycle, it's probably easier to justify it, too, because then you're not having to break the production schedule of the first season in this. You can just have... You can say, okay, we're just going to shoot later into the summer for the second season of these. Also, I want to do quick math for everybody here, because I know obviously they're doing two 26-day seasons here, but this is good for Andy Vogel whenever he does finally listen to this, so that'll get him to like this. What is 39 plus 39 back when they used to shoot 39 days? 78. 26 plus 50 is 76.
So this would, yeah, it'd still be shorter than what, like, the seasons they did not that long ago.
Yeah. Like, literally, so, it'll be 5 years ago at that point. So they could absolutely do it. And, Will, I think 50 days is 100% on the table. I know a lot of people are throwing that out there just as a thing, just to say it. But I absolutely think that 50 days is on the table. I think 39 days on the table. I would be more shocked if it was 26 days than if it was 50 days.
I was just about to say the same thing, Phil. I would be shocked if it were 26 days.
Here comes the rain. All right. I think Jeff is going to be 64 that summer. It's a thing. We got used to 26. It's not that people in entertainment are lazy. Jeff Probst is not lazy. I am not saying that. But once you get used to a schedule, it's really hard to go back to the old one. It's really hard to go not even back to the old one, but make it more. I think the highest the cast can be would be 20, because there's the precedent. I don't think we're going to go above and beyond when it comes to people or days. I think the thing where it will be above and beyond will be what we do for Twist, what we do for theming. Of, we haven't had a theme for the last 9 seasons, but we can't do 50 and just say a number. We can't drop the 5 and go to season 0.
I feel like that's very likely, especially if they are going to get a completely mishmash of people, which we've kind of talked through that's probably the best way to do this, and not to, like, really, okay, we're doing second chances too, or like holding yourself to all these like restrictions and rules, or no winners, or like three time player, like whatever, all that stuff we talked about. I think just calling it 50 really lets them really cast whoever they want to cast, and they don't need to name it. Like, really helps with casting a returning player season. It opens doors for them.
But I'm going to say we've had 18, six times in a row, 18 people are about to start Survivor 40 several, and it's going to be 26 days. So if we add a 19th and a 20th player, we're either doing two more double eliminations and sticking to 26, or maybe it goes to 29 or 30. I don't think they play 39 days, and 50 days would be sick. And that's where all the people that love Survivor put their heart and soul into this. But the people that are making decisions on this still have to talk to their accountants afterwards. They still have to make sure everyone gets paid under budget three times over. And that's what is going to drive this. And unfortunately, it limits creativity. Don't let people limit your creativity in your everyday life. But when it comes to Survivor, I think it's not going to be more than 20 people. And I don't think we're going to go back to 39 days anytime soon.
So
yeah, here's a comment from Real Nicholas Cage. It says 26 days for sure. No way they're risking going back to 39 for one season and then go back to 26. The fans would be furious. And I do see that, but I do also feel like maybe even 50 days is more like in the 30. Yeah, if you do 39, you're like, say, oh, look what we can do. But does that even matter? Like I do think that you can acknowledge 50 as this huge, huge milestone and be like, you know what? We're doing things differently this season. And then you know what? Season 51, you go back to 26 days, and I don't think anyone would be that mad. Be like, oh, very understandably, we did something bigger, better, larger, longer than we ever have done because we are celebrating the 50th season of the show. I mean, I know we keep saying it so casually, Survivor 50, Survivor 50. Can we just like acknowledge for a second that we are going to get to a 50th season of this show? Like, it's pretty remarkable. Yeah. Good for and them. Yeah, so not for nothing, Phil. This is the 50th season.
Can I give Blake one here? This is a player that he's after his rant. This is the player that I thought of immediately.
Boo. Bring back Boo.
No, not bring him back. It's just everything Blake just said deserves a gigantic boo.
Boo!
That's all it deserves, dude. So for anybody who's looking at who we want cast for season 50, if you just listened to Blake's rant and you agreed with all of it, this is the guy I got for you. Boo. Because boo, Blake, that was awful. I can't believe you're making me agree with Will more because, you know, me
that's
and
what
Will,
I'm here for.
We don't like doing that too much. Here's the deal. And I have a complete hello says boo is so easy on the eyes. Yes, he is. I have a complete counter argument to what Blake just said about the amount of days and such. They have now done 18 players for 26 days. That is a player being voted out more than every other day. Most of the time, it is every day. But because you're voting out 15 people to get to a final three, you'd have to have 30 days for it to be every other day. So for it to be 26 days, you're talking 1.6 whatever days. If you were to go to 39 days and 30 people, you're barely moving that needle at all. You've already gotten used to it as a production team. Yes, that would mean you need more people on certain days and you'd have to pay them more because they would be technically working more. But you have already done it where you've had to speed run the game. Now you're just speed running longer. And I think it is doable. And if you do 30 players, I think they could go as high as 36 players. I don't think they'd go higher than that, but I think they could go 36 players. And you can do a lot of double eliminations in the pre-merge if you separate them into three tribes and, you know, two tribes lose, two tribal councils that night. We have an hour and a half of Survivor right now. The Amazing Race does not need to be an hour and a half. They could go 2 hours of Survivor, 1 hour of The Amazing Race. You are getting plenty of screen time for everybody. As the people who bitched about Survivor being an hour long will tell you, an hour and a half is too long. But an hour and a half is too long if you don't necessarily have all the content to show. If you're doing two tribal councils for most of the episodes, boom. And the thing is, then you don't even necessarily need to be 39 days. You could be even less with 30 people. I think we could see 50 days. I think we could see 36 people. I think they could blow this thing out. Where it becomes a little bit more problematic is the episode order. But again, if they get a 2 hour slot, The Bachelor gets it for however many episodes a season. Why couldn't Survivor get it?
Bachelor's
if they get
three
that.
3 hours.
Yeah. So if Survivor can get
and
that, why not?
Big Brother gets 3 episodes a week plus live feeds. Like, and it's a great point, Phil. Now we're in the era of Survivor where their episodes are 90 minutes. And so like you could, even if they stay at 90 minutes, you could do two boots per 90 minute episodes. And then, yeah, that might feel a little quick, or maybe you don't do it every episode, but I think there's enough time for you to speed through. And I just feel like we've seen this show go through changes and do different things. Like even for Survivor season 40, they upped the prize from $1 million to $2 million. That cost more to their bottom line. Yeah. It cost them $1 million more dollars, but they did it because it's Survivor 40 and it's special and it's a big deal. So the budget, the episode order, the timing, like all that, yes, they are factors, but I don't think we haven't seen this like reluctance to not make changes to the show or do something for a special season. So I want to be optimistic here that all of these options are on the table.
And remember this, season 18 was the first 18 person season. Or I'm sorry, season 8 was the first 18 person season. So when they did All Stars, that is the first 18 person season of the show. Every season before that had been 16. Baby Blake was over there going, oh my God, I can't believe they did this. He's over there screaming at his mom that they'd never go from 16 to 18. That would be ridiculous. But
and then we saw it go to 20.
And then we saw it go to 20. They are willing to make the changes. And when was their first season with 20 people, Will?
Their first 20 person season was Cook Islands, right? Or Panama?
No, it was 10. It was Palau.
Oh, because they voted out the two. Yeah,
Jonathan didn't want it. But guess what? That was their 10th season. That is a monumental number. Like having 10 seasons of a show, they didn't bring back players. They didn't do all that, but that's your first 20 person season. All Stars was their first 18 person season. If you're ever going to go more, man, this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. And like, it doesn't need to be like that. We keep saying like potentially 30 players or 36 players, but it could just be like they go to 24 players, you know, like two tribes of 12 or three tribes of 8 or something. So, and I'm not like predicting we're going to get 50 players, 50 days, Survivor 50, but if they could, I mean, it wouldn't be, it would not shock me. It would not be the craziest thing if it was 50 days, 50 players and some version of that. That would probably be, I don't think it's likely, but I really do think that,
I mean, screw them. Like, I don't think they have the storytelling possibility to let tribes breathe for 2 days without voting someone out, because all of their story building for the last six seasons have been, there's no breathing in between. We have twist or vote out. Literally the tribal scenes these days are, what did we do for fun? There's no like layers of strategy. I feel like, If there were 3 days before tribal, we need to hire all the people that worked on the show 8 years ago. And all those people are either on different shows. Who knows where they are at this point, where it's like, can they even do that show anymore? Or is it so, this is the new era and this is how the show.
They can definitely still do it.
I challenge them.
And I think what's actually hurting the show right now, I was thinking about this, and then we can move on. This counts as two of our burning questions, by the way, because this is how many people and how many days. So I just want to make sure everybody understands there really were 10. I think what's hurting the show right now is that their even seasons are in the spring. Because I think that if season 50 was going to be the fall season, they would absolutely overshoot it and make it the fall and the spring season. They would do a 26 episode order. They'd have more people. They'd have more days. They'd probably just shoot this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like you're saying, basically just go out and shoot one season.
52 days with 36 people or something like that. Instead of two seasons of 26 days for.
Yeah, but I don't know. We just ran the numbers, and it does. I mean, you could do a 26 day season and then a 50 day season. It would still be shorter than shooting two 39 day seasons. And we're not that far away from 39. I know we're about season 50, like we're still airing 46. So this is pretty far away. And you know, the new era is pretty new still. Like what, Winners at War was filmed, what, 2019?
Yeah, 2019 is when it filmed Itch.
Like, that's not that long ago.
Anyway, there's a whole pandemic since literally that's going to be most people's before and after moment if you're anywhere between 15 and 20. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want season 50 to be this grandiose thing that we remember forever, but I've lived through Game Changers. So you are kind of like, what's going to happen? Fingers crossed, hope for the best, settle for the worst. I don't want to, but maybe I will.
All right, let's jump over to the next questions. Because again, like I said, we are going to be talking about this to death once we actually get into the summer and everything, once 46 is over. These kind of go hand in hand, but I think we can probably ask this one first. because we're going to talk about the theme. But one that people keep asking, and I think that this is regardless of theme, will there be a fan vote in any capacity? And I'm not saying, like, we don't have to dive into, oh, well, for second chance to get. I'm just saying, do you think that the fans will have any role in the players who are picked for this season, no matter what the theme is?
No.
Blake?
And that's just a no. That's a no for me, dog.
I think the last time we had people pick, we were a little, that wasn't that great. So let's not, let's leave it to the professionals so we can be mad at the professionals instead of mad at ourselves. And
wait, what do you mean?
I don't,
it wasn't that great.
Yeah. Second Chances had like,
oh, that's the one we did like? It wasn't Game Changers. Game Changers wasn't.
Yeah. Game Changers.
No, that was the one without
fan vote. Yeah.
Oh, come so on, I'm saying the exact opposite.
Survivor but Generalist.
If it was literally like, here's the 700 people that have played Survivor, whoever gets the most votes, it's going to be like, who knows somebody that can do computer bots that vote 1,000 times? Like, there's a reason I don't think American Idol does votes anymore or whatever. Or even for Dancing with the Stars, they like, we put this with our judges thing. Like, it matters, but not all the way. Like, I think, like, what are we going to do? We're all, okay, everyone that is on Survivor Specialist, we're all going to vote for Peter Harkley. Let's do this. And, like, okay. Peter Harkley somehow gets on the show, and you're like, if 19 different fan communities did that, and we have 19 people in Sandra, and Sandra wins her third Survivor, we're going to go, what the hell happened? No voting.
I do think the diversity mandate from CBS would kind of just make a vote. Not that it's not possible, but I just don't think you want to be like, I don't know, because then you're asking people to like fill up a quota, and it just that gets really messy. And I do think they want to have diversity as part of this cast. It's something that the show wants to do and has done for the new era, and I think they will continue to, you know, uphold that. And so when you leave it to fans voting, then it just kind of I don't know, it feels like that part of it becomes more difficult with the fan vote.
I do agree with that, because if it's got to be 50% BIPOC, you need to figure out where, like, how are fans going to vote for that? And you're not going to tell fans, they're not going to do the Cook Islands version of fan voting where you say, okay, now vote for this one. Like, you literally can't do that. And Will, and then, when we did our Survivor Second Chances thing for Second Chances 2, that was one of the biggest complaints we would get over and over again in the chat, was you're not including enough for the representation for the CBS
rule. And it's because we did a fan vote too. So it was like, we weren't going to be able to do that. I think you want to just let the casting people pick the whole cast. I mean, that's just what it's going to be.
Here's what I could see them doing. Perhaps I could see them potentially, let's say they were to go more players, even if they didn't go more players, but I'm just going to do it for the sake of making it easy, right? Like, let's say they went with my stupid, let's say they go 24 players. So they're going 4 extra. I could see the casting department selecting the 20 and then allowing fans to vote for the final 4 members out of 10. 5 men, 5 women, pick your 2 favorites from each, and those will be your final 4 members on the season. I could see them doing something like that where the fans are impacting it in some at least minute way. And it's now been essentially CBS narrowed it down to 30. Here's the other 4. You might say, oh, that could impact them when they get to the game and stuff like that. Who really cares? I mean, I think for season 50, if they want to include a fan vote, that would probably be the best way for them to do it, is the fans pick a small minority of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to play into my perfect theme that I can't wait to share with you guys.
All right. Let's move on to the theme. I want to hear this, Blake.
What is the theme of the season? So,
here's what the theme could be to encompass 17 things we've said all in one. How do we get a cast of more than 20 where it makes sense with the amount? I think you go half Ghost Island, half Island of the Idols, and you go, who is the survivor Mount Rushmore? Those 4 people are going to be included in the show, but they are watching and have an ability to either give advice or give the clues or give the advantages. They're part of the show. We get to see the Survivor Rushmore people influence and talk to our cast of 20. But these four people are so good at the game. We want to include them, but we don't want them to go back to back. We're going to pay them their appearance fees and keep them the whole season, but include them more in than we had Rob and Sandra. Keep them for the whole time. Maybe all four of them vote together for a final tribal council thing. Figure out what makes sense, checks and balance wise, and whatever that you have to make those lawyers happy or whatever. And then you could have 20 people where it's like they have, oh, I knew Sandra from this other. Maybe it's not Sandra. I knew Suri from this other time. Let's not do Sandra or Rob because they were already this. I'm not saying build four faces on the thing, but Island of the Idols mixed with Ghost Island, where you could have like, now Suri's going to be like, this is the couch I got off of challenge. And we're going to do iconic challenges, but also iconic idols or advantages that these Rushmore players have played. And that all mixes together and makes more sense because 50 is a culmination and celebration of not only our best characters, players, challenges, and twists. And it takes somebody that loves all of this to mix it all together.
Let's throw up this one. Anna Lynn Starr, this Shark Tank pitch is tanking. no, but I hear, so like, like, this is wild from nostalgia.
Blake, what is, and then what are you going on about, man?
Where's Mr. Manny here? Blake, you pitched this and you think 39 days is out of the question.
Oh, we're trying. Okay.
All right. I do want to say this.
This isn't, I don't think we're getting anything.
They could be fake team captains. That's a good idea.
Can I say something with this, though? Jeff Probst did say, I'm pretty sure at one point, or Rick Devins said it when they were doing their podcast together, that Rick Devins was almost like a person on the island that they would go to at times for one of the seasons. I forget what season that was for. Yes. But like,
yes,
Jeff has made questionable decisions like this in the past. And if this is going to be Jeff's last season, which is going to be burning question number 10, maybe they're trying to get more people involved to do this. I will say we had 150 people watching when Blake started that. We are now down to 130. So we have lost 20 listeners since Blake started talking. But anyway, for those, this is Bing Bong. For those reasons, I'm
whoever
out.
Wins 50 instead of getting money now hosts the show for Jeff Probst moving forward.
I would purposely try to lose. so here's the thing, though. That is a theme. When you first said half Island of the Idols and half Ghost Island, I was like, all right, does Bradley Clyhee and Brendan Shapiro, do they both get in on this? Is this what we're saying? Like Tommy Sheehan and Lauren Beck too? Are we getting Chelsea or Vince? Which one do you want? Will, provide some sanity. Provide something. Provide some sort of comment to poor Blake here. Then what are you thinking?
I mean,
that's a really good idea, Blake.
I've been saying the whole time that, like, everything is on the table. Like, this is a big season. We could see big ideas. But even that, I don't know. No, I do think there is a world in which they have. I don't know if they'll do. I think captains would be more likely. Like, if they have like Boston, Rob, Sandra, Parr, like if they want to bring those people back, maybe they put them into some different kind of like different role than we've seen, whether they start off as a mentor and at some point, like they're going to lead their tribes through challenges and strategy. At some point they will be entering the game as not just a captain, but a player that you can vote out. So maybe they have immunity for the first like three or four episodes. I mean, who knows? This is all big idea stuff. I don't want to completely laugh it off because like we did get Island of the Idols with these two big faces. That was a ridiculous premise. But they did do that. And so, yeah, I mean, that's really all I can say in support. I don't think we're going to get something like that though. I would be surprised, especially because Island of the Idols is such a like stain for Survivor and they don't like to talk about that season. They don't like to really like, they kind of act like that season doesn't exist. So To bring back a theme so similar to a season you're trying to forget and not have people, you know, not have it be top of mind, that would be very surprising.
I do think, though, I think there is merit to some of what Blake said, where I do think that certain players who might not line up for the full length of the game, let's say they did want to do 50 days, okay? If you're signing up to go play Survivor for 50 days, I hope you don't have a job, because that you're giving up 2 months of your life with preseason stuff and postseason stuff that you are now just like taking off work. And I understand that the work structure in the United States and in Canada is not what it was in 2000 when this show started, but still, that's a lot. But if CBS says, man, we really want to get for season 50, we got to have Boston Rob on our screen. I mean, Boston Rob's somebody who would go and do it, but let's just use him as an example. They could say, okay, let's make sure we get Rob involved in some way. He can be a part of a reward like Cochran was for Game Changers. And now you are getting to include more players from the history of the show without them actually playing. And maybe that makes their casting of the season a little bit easier. I mean, you know, it could be like House of Villains, where in House of Villains, they had other villains come in and do certain aspects of that show. I think that that is something Survivor could do. I think the idea of four captains or whatever, and they're living on an island and all that stuff, I don't see that. But if they really want to have David Wright do this, and David Wright's not going to give up 50 days of TV writing to go do this, they could have him go out there for a specific episode of this show and do something. So
his twin brother David Wrong shows up.
Hello.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a possibility of that. But at the same time, like, they're going to pick people that they want to see play the game. And you want to focus on the people in the game. So it's like every episode, the reward is like a former Survivor player coming. Then you're taking time and focus away from the people actually competing to win the 50th season. So I don't know if that would be like a every episode type of deal, but like, I do think there's, you're right. And again, this is, that's on a big, if it's, you know, go play for 50 days, you know, this could be a 26 day season. It could be a 39 day season. So go ahead, Blake.
I have two thoughts, because I do want to say something about House of Villains. Of like, there's some innovation. As much as we're saying stagnant in Survivor, House of Villains came out last year and was one of the most amazing shows I've seen. And the idea of what it did, I feel like that's some innovation that Survivor could be like, oh, you could bring someone like Cochran was a reward one time. And like doing that, but three times during the season. Of like, D was on the season with Mama J. Do you want some actual intel on Mama J? D will tell you, because they didn't really get along afterward. And like that kind of stuff is something where I like that innovation. The other thing that I was going to say is I forgot, but like it's something where I like that thought process of it being, we can do this stuff. You've seen this before in different ways. But like if it was Ghost Island, but instead of showing the stuff in clips, now it's Ghost Island, but the people are actually on the island and we flew them out to Fiji to have that moment of somebody from like, what's his face? Rodney goes, oh my God, it's a dishwashing challenge while you're making me a birthday cake. Can you do both? You'll get a reward. And like, obviously that's the joke version, but you could do the version that makes sense to homage mm-hmm. and move forward and innovate.
So getting kind of away from that,
I figured out the second thing, 2 seconds. Let me do this real quick.
One, two.
Rob, somebody said, I've seen enough Rob for a lifetime. I have not watched Deal or No Deal. I'm waiting for the end to see if it's really good. And then I'll watch it. But I did watch an iconic clip. I don't know if it's spoilers, but something happens this week where someone gets voted out and it's eliminated. And people were like, how iconic.
No spoilers.
Look at Rob's look. And I was like, I've seen this look. Mm-hmm. I've seen this look 4 other times. This is not iconic to me. It's more of the same. Love Boston Rob. If he came back on a... I know people will die hard root for him forever, but I've seen him win. I've seen him crush people on Amazing Race. I was such a diehard Rob and Amber fan on Amazing Race, but I don't need to see him come back and dominate or lose. I've seen all the permutations of him what's the point at this point for Boston Rob a seventh, eighth, or ninth time? Mm-hmm. I'm done for an hour now.
That was more than 2 seconds. So aside from that stuff, here's where my mind goes. Because how do you top Winners at War? You think like season 8 was All-Stars. Season 16 was fans versus favorites because they knew they needed to do something different than All-Stars. Then when they come out with 20, it was, ooh, let's do heroes versus villains. It's a big monumental season. So it can't just be an All-Stars. It's still heroes versus villains, technically an All-Star season, but it is heroes versus villains. That's your theme. Season 34 is Game Changers. They kind of had no idea what they were doing. They just wanted to throw in another All-Star season. 31 was Second Chance. Yeah 31 was Second Chance.
Basically, they wanted to bring people back, and there's some people didn't get voted on, so they're just like, all right, let's do another return.
Let's do another return.
So we get Brad Culpepper on TV.
Yeah, which makes sense. And then you have season 40, which is Winners at War. The one thing Survivor doesn't do the same way twice normally is themes. And so I think about, oh, well, they've done Blood versus Water. Yes, but the first time of Blood versus Water was half returning, half not. Then the next time they did Blood versus Water, it was all new players. And so fans versus favorites, yes, they've done that twice, but those were at like random seasons. They weren't at Monument. 26 is not an impressive number for anybody. So what I'm saying is a lot of people are saying, are we going to get Heroes versus Villains 2? Are we going to get another? Like, what is this going to be? I think that it is just going to be, everybody says Legends. That's the name that gets thrown around. I think that's what 40 was going to be before it became Winners at War. I just personally, yeah, so here's JD. I think a legend season with only huge names would give us a great season no matter what. I agree with that. And I think the whole thing is Survivor's not going to redo a theme for season 50. And I could see them just naming it Legends, because that really does, Will, you were saying 50 just keeps them open to anything. Naming it Legends keeps them open to anything because Game Changers got them anyone.
Survivor season 50 or Survivor, Legends. I think a one word like just Legends or 50 is kind of what we're going to get.
Define the words big names real quick for everyone. What does that mean to you, Phil?
It's people probably predominantly pre-40, and then I think like, you know, Jam, Carolyn.
I'd say faces. Like they're like faces of the franchise.
Yeah.
Like Jesse.
I think what's going to happen with this, though, is even like disregarding, forget what big name is. Yeah. Jesse, Cody, something like that. Here's the deal, though. With this season, we are all thinking so much about the theme. I think the theme is the least of their worries this time. Winners at War was great because it meant we got to get all winners. So we got to come up with that theme. Then we got to find all the winners. With this, I think that because they aren't just trying to find winners, they're not going to do winners versus runner-ups. That limits their pool. They're not going to do pre-jury versus runner-up versus winners because that limits their pool. I think they're going to leave it as open as they possibly can to everybody. And that is just going to be a simple one word, like Will was saying. We're all going to obsess with the theme, and the theme is going to get added in at the very last second, or it's going to be a Game Changers type theme. These tribes are not going to be broken up as heroes versus villains. They're not going to be broken up along eras, I don't think.
I do think the eras thing would be, if we are going to like break up tribes in a certain way, I do think that would be one way to do it, especially if we get something where we get 30 players, or let's say it's 24 players, maybe a more reasonable number. You have 8 people from, you know, the first whatever 20 seasons, then you have 8 people from 20 to 40, and then you have 8 people from the new era. Like, to me, there's part of that makes a lot of sense, and I think you get that there's stories there with the theme, where it's not like, you know, Heroes of Villains is a great theme because it's pitting people together, but the story there was like, okay, I guess we're villains, why are we villains, but we're game show villains. But there is something really interesting there to mix those people, see how the tribes actually play differently. Like, what are the 8 new school players or the new era people doing differently than the people who played in the first 20 seasons? Like, there is, you know, great confessionals, great bites that you can really get, and then when they mix up, it's like, I don't know, I think Jeff just would go crazy for something like that.
Yeah, and William Redman here, old school versus new era. And a lot of people are saying that with, you know, it would make sense with this. This is where I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked at as many as 36 players playing this season. because old school versus new school versus new era, Hatch, Tina, if they wanted to play again and if they were allowed, that you didn't put them on Winners at War, people outcried. So maybe that Lex, fair play if he wanted to play again. Maybe that's somebody they'd consider. Like, I think there's your old school, but then you have your new school, which is these 30s people who didn't get to play again. Dom, Angelina, Christian, those Davey, those types of players. But then you can also take people from 31, or 31 is a stupid example, but like 30, 32, 29, 28, and you can break it down that way. And then you're still getting a bunch of new era people. This would be, I think, the only way they would break it up. And that would be where I could see them actually doing 3 10-person tribes or something insane like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's...
Blake was about to yell at me. So go ahead, Blake. It's the first time you've ever faced real resistance on the podcast, and I'm glad you're experiencing it. You kind of deserve
it. No, I'm always the dumb idiot in the corner. I think there's a lot of fun things that can happen with this. And I do have hopes, and I do have whatever. It is interesting seeing, like, who could you want from this new era? Who could you want? But I don't think we're getting people from before 20. I truly think that's just so far out of the sight and mind of, like, unless they played since 20, I don't think there will be a 1 or 2-time player only who never played after Heroes versus Villains, because all of the new fans are people that have watched it binge watched. And maybe those people, I think there's father time coming for some of these people too, of like most of the old school people are going to be the people that are probably in their 40s right now. And are they at their physical peak? No. And like, maybe they were more of a physical player on their first season and that was part of their game. And if that's missed a step and they also have to be really good at the mental gameplay or the strategy, and maybe that wasn't their best, then it is kind of like, are they outclassed by somebody? And like, I think that also limits, like, can we have some of our older players from the new era be on the season or not really? Because if we're going to mix eras, just by how Father Time works, all of our old school eras are all going to be older players.
Yeah, but like, think about someone like Tyson, you know, who's like a former professional cyclist. He's now like a pickleball purse player and does all that. Like, he was a player from before season 20. And that he seems like a very reasonable person to put on Survivor season 50.
Kenny from Gabon is literally like 38 years old right now. But like, he's not that old. I'm putting up nostalgias here.
Blake is people that are 38 very often, though,
so that when the season comes, or we're not disappointed if it's that bad. So I just wanted to throw that up there. As you can see, the theme, I think, is the big one. And like I said, we're going to be having a lot of these conversations in June. Going to try to get some guests on to talk about this stuff. Already definitely have one who's interested. So hopefully we're going to get some guests on to talk about some more of this stuff in June, what other people in the community think about their that what this season is going to be. So I don't want to dwell too much on this because we just talked 20 minutes about the theme. So let's cut there.
I think everyone later, though, if you're talking about Survivor 50 with your friends, I think you should colloquial call it Survivor Rushmore. That seems like probably the name of the season they'll use for sure.
There you go. I like that. All right. Anyway, thank you. Last question. Easy one. Doesn't need to take much time. Will this be Jeff's last season? Because that is all anybody, that is the only thing people care about with Jeff right now. They don't care about, you know, what he's going to do on the show or anything like that. They just want to know, is this it for Jeff?
Is this personal opinion or what we hope? Or
no. What do you think? Do you think season 50, 25 years, Jeff will be 64 years old or whatever it is? Do you think this is the last season for Jeff?
I would like to say Jeff has a rousing thank you for everything. This is his victory lap. Let's go out on top. I think in your 60s, no matter how wonderful your life is, that's whenever it starts getting like, I need to make sure everything's good. I think Jeff goes, this was a wonderful experience. I love my life so much. Thanks for everything. I will still be on the show as a producer if you guys need me. But this is a wonderful time for me to say goodbye. And 50 seasons is wonderful. We've seen, like, Pat Sajak isn't going to be the host of Wheel of Fortune next time.
Yeah,
that's and brutal. Wheel of Fortune's way easier than Survivor.
but so, so much more time. Boring.
Yeah.
I want to say the counter argument, and I'll let Will play in the middle here, and he can be the determining factor. Blake, you work in film, TV, casting, all that fun stuff. I've worked in film, TV. Will, you work film, TV, all that fun stuff. People don't retire when they get a job they love when you work in entertainment. I'm sorry, you don't. You do not retire. My boss at one of my jobs was 88 years old, okay? This guy still works. He's older than that now, but he still works. And the whole reasoning is he loves what he does when it comes to the entertainment business. He loves this aspect of it. A lot of people who want to work in film and TV and in the creative fields, they work their entire lives to get established by 50. If you get established by 50 in film and TV, as long as you're not trying to be an actor, you're chilling. Like, good for you. You're a big time producer at 50. Now go be a producer for the next 30 years of your life. And the thing is, look, Martin Scorsese, right? He's still making movies and he's in his 80s. I think, Jeff, obviously this is more physically demanding. There's a lot more travel involved. There's a lot more of all of those things. But I think Jeff loves this job so much, no matter what the community says about him, no matter how much we rip him for stupid decisions and ones that are questionable and all that, I think that Jeff loves this so much that he is not going to stop until he has to stop. Why stop now? There's no, what's he going to go do? He's just going to not work for the next 30 years.
I highly doubt $85 billion.
But what does that matter if this is what you like doing? Like, a lot of these people who work in the creative fields. So The Rock has $35 billion. He's still going and working all the time. Taylor Swift is a billionaire.
Somebody She's has to performing. Stop The Rock. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, all these people do it and they don't want to retire. I think Jeff, he's an entertainer. He literally has the dream job of anybody. 50 sounds like a nice round number to get him to stop. I think he loves it too much. It keeps him young. I think he's going to keep doing it. I think he's going to go until he's like 70 years old and he physically can't do it. Will?
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, like, you guys both made great, great cases. I could see it going either way. I do think it's probably one of those things that Jeff has probably said, okay, once we got to season 50, that's a milestone. I'm going to be done. And then once you're actually there and you're like, do I really need to be done just because it's a nice round sounding number? Like, no, like I could end after season 52 and do one more cycle next year. Like, it doesn't have to be, this round number. But I do think what Blake said is true. Like, I don't think in any capacity that Jeff is quitting Survivor for good. I think it will be like, I'm going to relinquish my hosting duties, but I'm still going to be very heavily involved in casting. I'm going to be heavily involved in the twists and season themes or whatever the newest, newer era of the show becomes. And, you know, maybe we start going and doing one season a year and they're longer, or we do three seasons, or whatever the next journey of this show goes on. Jeff will always be a part of it, whether he's a producer or a host. But the first aspect of the job that he will give up is the hosting job. And so I'm kind of in the middle with both of you. Like, I could see 50 being the last season he hosts, but he's still heavily involved where he doesn't have to be going to BG and living there for, you know, 3 months, and he can, you know, produce the show comfortably in LA with his family and then travel and have a lot of time on his hands as he gets into the older years of his life. So, and I don't know. I think that's kind of a middle ground answer, but that's kind of where I'm at.
I agree with you though, Will. Sorry, Blake, I'm jumping in over you. I'm cutting you off. I agree with you here, Will. I do think hosting will be the first thing he gives up. I just think physically Jeff doesn't need to give it up yet. And I think I think he'll go probably 8 more years. Like, I really do. I think he'll cut off at 70. I mean, and I understand, again, I said, this is physical. I understand that. But like, think about teachers, think about politicians, think about entertainment people. They all work, not teachers like public. So I'm talking like professors at universities. they all work until they're super old because they love what they do. And I do agree with you, Will. Eventually, I think he'll be pulled back a little bit where they'll say, Jeff, just produce. What are we going to do? But if Jeff stops when he still thinks he's got something in the tank and then watches somebody else do it and feels that it's not working well, he's going to regret it. Even if he's older, he's going to regret it. So I think that's what I have to say. But Blake, what do you want?
Here is something we lived through. Jay Leno. And I think there's at least three people out in the world. Do I know their names? No. I'd love to go find all these people that could be hosts. But Jay Leno said, I'm going to be done at a certain point. Conan O'Brien's going to take over. Then Jay Leno did what he did. Didn't get out of the way. Hey, no, he's not doing as good as I was. I could be doing this. Got on another show, superseded, undercut Conan. There's 15 documentaries and 6 books to read about this. It's one of the most fascinating things that's happened in entertainment in my thought process over the last 20 years. Does that happen? Is Jeff going to be a Jay Leno? Why do we watch somebody in past the prime of their career? We're not in prime Jeff right now. I can definitely say that. And so it's, do we let Jeff do it until he's 70? Or does somebody say, for the goodness of our show and moving forward, and drop the 50, 51, go to one? Well, the best way to start a new era of the show for 51 would be, it's actually season one with a brand new host. Mm-hmm. And whether we think Jeff Leno for short, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm very interested to see what Survivor could be, and everyone doing the whole, I think you can't do Survivor without, well, how do you say I love watching Survivor Australia so much? And then also say the same thought process of, you can't, Jeff is Survivor. No, he's getting his ass kicked by Survivor Australia, according to you guys in the chat, for the last 4 years now.
Not our guys, not all of them.
Yeah, no, but like, I think that is a good point. And I think we can wrap this up. We're at the 90th minute here. I think it's a very good point that, like, the show exists in like 20 other countries. So the format and the show work. The show can live on without Jeff hosting. As good as he is and as important he is to the show, I don't think it's a death sentence.
I agree. But I think he's going to hang around. Anyway, we'll see. Those are our 10 burning questions for Survivor 50. If you made it this far, like this video, make sure you subscribe to the channel. We appreciate all of it. We're over 10,600. It's a good feeling. Let's get it going as the hype for Survivor 50 comes, because season 46 ends this month. We have 4 episodes left. Will and I are going to be live podcasting in about 2.5 hours, recapping the next episode of Survivor 46. And then in June, as I said, we're going to be diving into more of this Survivor 50 discussion, because this is really our off season to do it. This is our summer to do it. So thank you all so much for listening to this. Become patrons, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're averaging over 1 episode per day, and we have been over the last couple of months. So consider becoming patrons. We just put out our Survivor Rock Draw today, where Will and I actually, we tier ranked or tier listed, however you would call it, the Fallen Angels, all the people who finished like 3rd or 4th, just missed Final Tribal Council, and how and what they would have done.
Just the people who didn't win the Final Meetings out.
Yeah. Well, there's other people who didn't win it who are in there, but it's the people who didn't win the Final Immunity Challenge and just missed getting into the Final 3.
No, didn't we talk? Oh, right. Okay. I'm starting to forget what we're doing.
Yeah,
we went through like every single iteration, which I didn't think we were going to. And then we're like, let's just do the whole thing.
Yeah, we do every season. Yeah, every season. So that's a really fun one. So go ahead and listen to that. If you want to become a patron, that's over there on the Patreon, patreon.com/specialist. Thank you all so much for listening. Get excited for season 50. Let us know in the comments what you think is going to be happening. Let us know what you think about Blake's harebrained idea. And we will talk to you all later.
See ya.